Scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms 139, verses 14 through 16. That's Psalms 139, verses 14 through 16. And I am reading from the New American Standard Version, and it reads, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them.
Feel like I'm preaching to the choir. It's not really a lesson, I think, that all of us here don't agree with to some degree. I don't know how many of you have kept up with this past week. It was the events that unfolded this week that kind of prompted me to revisit this topic that I had done several years ago. New York State had passed a bill that allows the abortion in the third trimester just prior to birth. It was celebrated through the lighting of many of the buildings in New York City. In that law also was passed in there that non-medical personnel could also perform this horrible thing. In New Jersey, a bill was introduced this past week to protect the life of unborn animals, that you could not send to the slaughterhouse a cow that is carrying a calf. The reasoning is that they have nobody to speak for them. Then in Virginia, a bill was introduced to committee. That was basically infanticide, that the baby could be aborted after it was born if it so chose. Fortunately, at least for that bill, it died in committee by a vote of 5-3. Sadly, 3 voted for it to move it to the General Assembly. The reason I brought this up is not because I want to sit here and tell you everything about this horrible topic. I know we've got young ones in here, and I will not get down in the weeds. But friends, while some of these were defeated, it's going to come back up. And each time it comes back up, we are beginning to become more numb each and every time until it finally passes. That is how our society works. But I brought this up not so much to teach you about these things of this subject, and we will go into some things. But it is to raise an awareness among all of us, because we live in a constitutional republic, we each have power. And it is up to us as Christians, those who love life, to make a stand. You know, there are some basic rules for true science. Every effect must have a cause. You cannot get something from nothing. The nature of a thing cannot change. And if we were to say otherwise, we are denying science and admit that everything that happens is magic. It is evolution that brought about the problems that we face today. Because an evolutionist mind is that a baby is just a blob that created. And as Rusty read in our scripture, that is not true. That infant inside was known by God. It was known in the moment of conception. We are bombarded so much today with so much information that it's oftentimes hard for us to be able to separate fact from fiction. We are blessed to live in a country with a Bill of Rights. All citizens are entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We are all so entitled to privacy. And I'm not saying that women have no right to make decisions about their body, but men should too. But the personal right ends when the decision comes that would endanger others. We have laws, and good laws, that protect the innocent from drunk drivers, from drug addiction, from murder. And it's good. When a woman is with child, she becomes responsible for another human body. The golden rule applies in this situation. Jesus, in Matthew 7, in verse 12, he said, "Therefore, all things whatsoever that men should do to you, you do so even to them. For this is the law and the prophets." I would not want to be aborted, would you? President Reagan had once said, "I have noticed that all of those who are in favor of abortions were born." Infants, whether we want to stand for that, have a right. They have a right to come into this world. I don't like this topic. I don't like this topic at all. And it should never have to be preached from a pulpit. That human life should be valued among everything else. But it is argued that though a baby is human and alive, it does not have the same rights as the mother. And they oftentimes use Exodus chapter 21 and verse 22 to prove their point, that God sanctions this idea. But the text in this verse actually teaches the very opposite. It says, "If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit departs from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine." The key phrase in this is "as no mischief follows," which means the baby is born prematurely, but it is healthy. So there is no mischief. The baby is not injured in any way. It is not born dead. And if it were, then that punishment would be met out by the judges. The husband would carry it out. The Old Testament was very adamant in punishment. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, life for life. But those things don't apply to us anymore. And certainly we can't pull a passage of Scripture out of its context to prove a point. You know, they talk about being, if the mother's life is in danger. I don't know if some of us older ones here remember C. Everett Koop, who used to be the nation's Surgeon General. And in his life as a doctor, in 36 years in pediatric medicine, he has never known of one instance where a child was aborted in order to save the mother's life. Typically, if that is the case, the doctor will induce labor or surgically remove the child. We have too many medical breakthroughs in this day and age to think about these things. The baby's life should never willfully be destroyed. The mother's life is in danger. Doctors can do things today that were impossible 30, 40 years ago. In the rare cases where a choice has to be made, what choice do you make? If a house is on fire and there's two people in the house and you can only save one, which would you save? For families that are faced with this decision, you cannot make the decision alone. It must be made through prayer. And if it comes to the point that taking the life of the child is the only thing, then I guess you could use it as a self-defense. But aborting on demand cannot make this case. Because you make the case of keeping the child or taking the child in, you're throwing it back in the fire. They used at one time child abuse as a reason. Most people don't realize that since abortion was legalized, child abuse climbed by at least 500%. And even though we have prevented the birth of more than 50 million children since 1973, you would think the opposite would be there. And we don't know what leads to some of this. Sometimes it's mental illness. We just don't know. But one thing stands out. Prenatally, the majority of abused children are not products of unwanted pregnancies, but from parents who desperately wanted children. Of 647 consecutive battered children brought in for treatment, UCLA Medical Center, 91% were planned and wanted pregnancies. So we can't use this ungodly act as a tool to prevent child abuse. I'm going to overlook that one. A couple of years back, the youth preacher over at Augusta Road, him and his wife had a baby. Had lived a week or so after it was born and finally died. The child had many problems that could not be overcome, and they tried. But what was recommended to them was to terminate the pregnancy, and they would not do that. All human life is sacred, regardless of the conditions that they would be born with. Regardless. Whatever the handicap, who gets to decide in this life which life is sacred or not? While we oftentimes stand in judgment of our fellow man, we have no right to judge except righteous judgment, do we not? And that is only according to the things that the Bible teaches. But we do not have the right to take life. Man's prerogative is not what's at stake here. For it's not man's prerogative to take what rightly belongs to God. You know, in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19, it was after the death of Jacob. Jacob was on his deathbed, but all of his sons, he was kind of telling them what was going to end up with them. And of course, when he came to Joseph, Joseph was at the top of the heap because Joseph was a man of God. And after Jacob passed away, they were fearful because Joseph had within his power to take them out. He was second only to Pharaoh. But in verse 19, Joseph says to his brothers, or he asked his brothers, "Fear not, for I am in the place of the Lord, or in the place of God." He gave them a rhetorical question. When they were worried about punishment, Joseph said, basically, "No, I am not going to punish you because of what you did in the past." Joseph was willing to let those things within his brothers' lives, and there we have the 12 tribes, to play out. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25, Paul writes, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." In other words, he's saying on God's worst day, he is better than man on his best day. And all of these decisions in aborting is made oftentimes in the second and third trimesters. You realize the United States is only one of seven nations in the whole world that allowed third trimester abortions. And we are a civilized society. But what we really have is infanticide, not abortion. We have fully developed babies. Every year, late-term babies are killed at a rate of about 8,300. Every year. That's all of them between the 21st week of gestation to 31 weeks. 32 weeks. And we live in a day and age where a lot of things are being corrected and can be corrected through medical procedures. What we have become as a nation is the same thing that the Israel nation had become during the book of Judges. During the time of the judges. In Judges 17 and verse 6, it says here, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And that's what we've become. We try to say that we are trying to avoid pain and suffering. But death by starvation, death by dehydration, death by exposure is hardly pain-free. But we try to get through life with those things, without those things. There was a book that was written, Children of the Laboratory, by Jay Watson. And there was a piece in there that was called The Paradox of Modern Thinking. And he writes here, "Save the rivers from industry. Save the mountains from strip mines. Save the redwoods from the woodsmen. Save the earth from the polluters. Kill the babies and their mothers. Save the whooping cranes. Save the wolves. Save the blackbirds. Save the gators, but kill the baby. Spare the rapist father. Save the seal pups. Save the fur bear. Save the hawks. Save the vultures and the crows, but kill the babies at the whim of their mother. Save the whales. Save the beaver. Save the snail darter. Save the murderers, terrorists, assassins. Kill the babies, the weak and defective. Kill the unwanted babies. Kill the senile grandfathers. Kill the deformed and the mentally retarded, kill the mentally and terminally ill. That's what our nation has become. And I bring this to you today because it is a sadness in my heart that this nation allows these things. You know, a while back when I was researching this several years ago, what they said was the pro-life movement is making progress. The percentage of people who consider themselves as pro-life have risen, while those who have considered themselves pro-choice has declined. I don't know if that holds true. I couldn't find anything to update that part at all. But what I do know is even if the pro-choice crowd has declined, their voice has gotten so much bigger. And they are screaming at the top of their lungs for these things to happen. John Adams sent a simple letter to the Continental Congress during the country's battle for independence. In that letter, he only asked three questions. Is anyone there? Does anyone see? Does anyone care? Battle flag has been raised. It's been raised this week. But is anyone there? Does anyone see? Does anyone care? God gave us His written word to abide by. And when you read Romans 13, you understand our relationship with our government. And it's not just there that it's written, but there's elsewhere the Bible talks about our relationship. No other country in the world enjoys what we enjoy today. The leadership of our nation is supposed to work for us. And I bring up this topic to make it work for us. I encourage us all, everyone, to either call or write our representatives from the state level all the way to the federal level to stop this nonsense. We cannot allow these things to continue to be revisited time and time again, and we grow number and number. 1 John 3 and verses 16 through 18. John writes, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth." Life is precious. I look around and I see all of our little ones, and it's nothing but joy. I wonder how many great men were never born, or great women. I wonder what the world would have been like if they weren't taken before they were born. Maybe there would have been some great preachers out there that would have hit home and brought many more to Christ. Or maybe some great leaders who have been able to work out the problems of the world and get nations to want to live together in harmony. You know, with 50 million, that's more than any state in the Union's population. And we have to reverse the trend. And we cannot remain silent anymore. It is a blessing to be able to come together with brothers and sisters in Christ who are in one accord on this, knowing that we feel the same. But we can also let others know the feelings and the facts, and to encourage them to save lives, those of the unborn. I love animals, and I like all kinds of animals, and I would never willfully hurt an animal just for the sake of it. But I will never take an animal's life over a human life any day of the week. Never. However you stand, stand tall. And let us do what we can to ensure and safeguard the lives of those who have yet to breathe this air. And allow them to be able to enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. If you are not a Christian, there is also another freedom that you can enjoy. A freedom from the life of sin. A freedom of knowing that you have made a choice that gives you eternal life. There's a door that you must pass through. A door of obedience. Jesus is knocking. Open the door. Enter in. Through repentance and confession and baptism, you will enter that door. And then together we work together to ensure that we remain faithful for the rest of our lives. If that is your decision this morning, we pray that you'll make it today. Don't delay. If you are a child of God and you need the prayers of the congregation for whatever reason, you're facing difficult tasks in life, a difficult trial, you want prayers, we will most certainly pray with you and for you. Maybe there's some things you need to repent of in a public way. If there's any way that we can help you, this time won't you come as together we stand and we sing.